This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, it's one thing when we always say it's Miami week, right? That's something that we've known for many, many years. When the Bills play the Dolphins, it's Miami week. There's a big rival that goes back a long time in the 70s and the 80s. And look, I will tell you, when I was growing up, Matt, I mean, the Chiefs and Bills played some pretty important games, playoff games even, AFC championship games, Joe Montana and Jim Kelly. But really, they're not in the same division. They're not even in, you know, they're in, one's in the East, one's in the West. But can we call this a rivalry now? Is this Chiefs week when this happens on a yearly basis after what's happened over the last few years?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. You can call this a rivalry. I mean, it's getting billed outside as like the biggest game of the year. Now, I think that's a bit of a stretch, but I can totally get there, right? I mean, every time these guys play, it seems to be a great game. They've played some all-time classics. I know that it did not end the way Bills fans wanted it to end. The 13-second game is like the best football game that has been played in the last decade in the National Football League. That was so entertaining. So yeah, this is absolutely a rivalry. And I mean, the stage is set. The Chiefs are 9-0. The Bills are 8-2. Obviously, if their game against the Broncos ends a little bit different, this one would be even more important. But yeah, I mean, this is a huge game and absolutely a rivalry.
All right. Well, let's set the stage for this episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We're going to just kind of give you as much content as we can this week, and we'll go quick on this one to kind of get in and out because we don't even have a Bills practice yet, but we got news from practice we'll get to here as we tell you thank you for downloading, subscribing, listening, wherever you pod, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey app. Thank you so much. And of course, at the Sal Sports YouTube page, past 10,000 subscribers last week. We're onward and upward. Thank you so much. And shout out to our producer, Mike Robier, who ran a 10K in honor of the 10,000 subscribers. He said he was going to do it. How cool is that?
Yeah, so everybody keep subscribing if you don't already, because it just means Mike has to run further and further. So, you know, one day we're going to get up to 25K. One day we're going to get up to 100K, and Mike is going to go have to do like basically an Ironman or something.
I love that. All right, so the big news this week was Sean McDermott telling the local media on our Monday Zoom call, Matt Milano is having his 21-day practice window open. Matt, you and I had the kind of like the baby pool. We talked about this a few weeks ago, the date. Yeah. And I said to you, November 12th, that was one day off. It is November 11th. November 12th was my pick, but I figured that maybe they would do it to give him a week, and then you have the bye week, and then you don't have to play him against San Francisco. You can activate him after that. So he could come back. The latest he could come back is for the Rams game. He would have to be activated before that. But just in general, Matt Milano coming back here on November 11th is when it was announced. We'll see that when the official transaction takes place. Your thoughts on this move for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit ahead of schedule, and I think that this is a really, really good sign for the Bills that he's at least closer to coming back. It feels like the stars are kind of aligning for a return after the bye week against the 49ers. That said, though, your point is important that they don't have to bring him back for the 49ers game, and honestly, they don't have to bring him back for the Rams game either. Right. He just has to be on the roster. They could just say, okay, we're going to put him on the roster. He's going to take up one of those 53 spots, but we don't feel like he's quite there yet. I do think, though, the fact that they're doing it now before the bye week is an indication that he is ready to go sooner rather than later. I think if there was a thought that this could extend beyond the Rams game, they wouldn't make the move now. I think that's why they're doing
it. So it was a biceps. Yeah, it was a biceps injury for Matt Milano this year is what happened, obviously. But we also know he hasn't played since last year, week five, when he broke his leg. You know, the blessing in disguise of all this, and, you know, saying it that way sounds weird, but that he's had even more time, like a few more months, for his leg to actually recover as well, when we all thought, hey, what's it going to be like? But what is a concern? Do you have a concern of what Matt Milano's going to be coming back from this, you know, year-plus layoff?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time. There's going to be some rust, but I think that's why it's so important to get him into the game, like get him into games now as opposed to down the road when you're in the playoffs. Like, you want him to be full go in the playoffs more than you want him to be full go for whatever the last four regular season games are of the season. So I think there's going to be some rust. I think there's going to be times when maybe he misses a tackle you would be more used to him making, but I don't think that it's going to be like this long, slow build. It's like, I think we all think back to the Tre'Davious White injury and how long it took him to kind of get back to full speed. I don't think it's going to take as long for Milano, and I think a lot of that is just the nature of the positions that they play.
No doubt about it. And let me point this out. Two things, obviously. Tre'Davious White had a knee and an Achilles, right? And Matt Milano had a leg, a broken leg, not ligaments, and a bicep. And it's a lot different. And like you said, they play different positions. Tre'Davious White, by the nature of his position, knee and Achilles, and the fact that he was never the fastest or strongest. He relied on technique. He relied on high IQ, you know, really good athlete. But when you take those things away, it's going to, that gap even goes further for the kinds of things he has to do. Matt Milano is a super physical player. We know that. He doesn't have to run 40 yards downfield necessarily with guys. So this is a much different situation. I would also add, Dorian Williams is, I think I looked today, he's top 10 in the NFL in tackles. Now, the nature of the position, that's going to happen. There's no doubt about that. But would you expect at all, let me ask you this, is Matt Milano, if he's fully healthy, immediately the Will linebacker and the starter over Dorian Williams?
Yes, absolutely. Unequivocally, no questions asked. Now, that doesn't mean you have to not have Dorian Williams on the field at times. I'm sure they would have packages for that. But Matt Milano is an absolute difference maker. And the other thing about Matt Milano, splash plays, right? Look at what has happened for the Bills defense since Taron Johnson came back from injury and Terrell Bernard came back from injury. Matt Milano made plays at the same clip that those guys do, and look at the night and day difference from the defense with those players to without them. He elevates everybody else on that side of the ball. There are times when Dorian Williams' athleticism bails them out of plays. Look at the Jonathan Taylor run against the Colts the other day. He runs all the way down the field to cut Jonathan Taylor off and save what would be a 69-yard touchdown into a 59-yard run, and then the Bills defense is able to actually hold in that situation. So there are times when his athleticism is super valuable, but Matt Milano, I know that he's going to be rusty. Pre-injury, you could make the argument he was the best player on the entire defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if Matt Milano's healthy, he should be still the starting Will linebacker, but we do have to see him do it, you know, in game situation. Just to recap on how this works for everybody, just want to run through the operation of it. We'll expect the official transaction on Tuesday the 12th or Wednesday the 13th, either way, filed with the league. It's 21 days from that day that the Bills have to put Matt Milano on the active roster. In the meantime, he can practice with them. He does not count on the active roster. He already counts as one of their eight designated to return guys. And then, as Matt said, once they do that, when the time comes, you have to put them on the roster. There are only 52 on the roster right now, by the way. There's an empty roster spot. But you'll have to make a roster move maybe if you have 53. And then if you really want to, you could also hold him out an extra week or so as long as he's active. So that's how the operation works. We also know Sean McDermott said Keon Coleman will not play this week, already ruling him out, which a lot of people asked me, Matt, why would he do that? Isn't there some sort of advantage to keeping the Chiefs guessing? Look, I would say it this way. Sure, you could make that argument. I just know from doing this and being on the sidelines and how injuries work, there's not a lot of secrets in the NFL when it comes to these sorts of things. Yes, you can play a little bit of gamesmanship once in a while here or there with certain players. I would think the Chiefs would know that Keon Coleman isn't playing. And also, the system doesn't change. Whether Keon Coleman's on the field or not, he's not. We all love Keon Coleman, what he's done. He's not Justin Jefferson. This is not a guy you're game planning specifically for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're planning for the Bills offense and the Bills system. I think the reason why Sean McDermott did it, from my perspective, I think there was so much about it last week. Maybe it was a bit of a distraction. They said, we're just going to get out of the way and let everybody know he's not playing this week.
Yeah, I think that there's some validity to all of the things that you said. I also think that like the Bills are just trying to be smart about this with the bye week coming up. Why rush? I understand that there is a lot at stake in this game. 7 minutes ago, we said it's, you know, being billed as the biggest game of the year. But there's still a pretty long shot that the Bills are actually able to get the one seed. And I don't think the Bills are really focusing on that. I think the Bills are like, let's get our guys as healthy as possible. And if that means we have to give them an extra week on the bye to get them right, then so be it. And that's why I think if it was going to be a stretch, why rush him back? And I will say also, kind of get the sentiment from the way the comments were made that they're expecting Amari Cooper back. So I think you're without Keon, but I do think Amari Cooper is probably coming back, which is still a net win for the offense.
All right, let's talk about Amari Cooper and his possibility and availability and relate it to what we saw last week. Again, a little disjointed in the passing game. Good to see Curtis Samuel get involved, but man, Amari Cooper would make so much of a difference for this passing attack because we saw when he's on the field, he can draw some certain coverages. If the Bills go into this game against this defense, coached by Steve Spagnuolo, without Amari Cooper and Keon Coleman, boy, I think that's really tough sledding in the passing game. I think Amari Cooper is a really big, important component this week if he can be healthy.
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing. I think he is a really important piece, and even though I think he's going to play, how much is he going to be able to contribute? Is the wrist going to be something that really bothers him, or is it going to be, hey, full steam ahead? I'm just ready to go and available. So I want to know how much he does during this week. For much of the last 2 weeks when we have been out of practice, we have seen him do individual drills, but we have not seen him work with Josh Allen. I think what we need to see this week is more of those reps together in the portion of practice we're allowed to see, and that will make me pretty confident that we'll see him again on Sunday and that there is a chance he can contribute. They need him. Without Keon Coleman and potentially without Dalton Kincaid, honestly, probably without Dalton Kincaid, they
need. Why do you say that?
Once again, the bye week coming up, I think that it's kind of do you find some
out? I do. I mean, he went back in the game and he came out and he said it didn't feel right. He felt he couldn't protect himself, but he was seemed like he was walking around okay without a brace. Or I mean, he had the brace on his knee. Maybe he was covered up, but it wasn't like he was on, you know, anything really serious in the locker room. And he said he doesn't know the severity of it yet, but they'll check on it. And then Sean McDermott called him day to day, essentially. I don't know. I think there's a lot of optimism Dalton Kincaid can play.
And it's kind of the same thing they've said about Amari Cooper with Dalton Kincaid, right? They're like, we got to see. I think Sean's specific verbiage was, we'll see how the next few days play out. I mean, I think like if Dalton Kincaid is going to play, we'll need to see him at practice a couple days, probably at least Thursday, Friday. I just think with the bye week coming up, I know it's the Chiefs game. I know it's a big deal. I think they would kind of lean on the side of caution of getting everybody fully ready as opposed to trying to rush somebody back. Now, I'm not saying if like his injury doesn't warrant him missing a game, then he'll play. It just felt like coming back into the game and then leaving shortly after is usually to me not a good sign as opposed to actually a good sign.
If you, I guess what you're saying is at 50-50, they'll probably err on the side of caution.
That's kind of the way I feel about it. But you can make it's funny. You can make the argument both ways because you could say, well, let him play. And then he's got more time to rest and heal because of the bye week. I just think the Bills are going to be like, well, we'll hold him out. We'll hope that Dawson Knox can step up. He has in the past against the Chiefs. Yeah. And then he'll be even more ready to go for the 49ers after the bye week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right. Spencer Brown also had an ankle injury. He did come back into the game and finish the game. They're going to monitor that this week. I'm much more optimistic about that. As much as I was optimistic about Dalton Kincaid, I'm even more optimistic that Spencer Brown would be fine here.
Yes, but I mean, he came back into the game and stayed in the game. With the thing, the difference there is Dalton came back into the game and then left the game again. So Spencer Brown and David Edwards both got injured, left, and then came back. To me, that says, okay, they'll be ready to go.
All right, so before we get on to the Chiefs, 9-0 Chiefs coming to Buffalo, big game in Orchard Park, obviously, on Sunday, 4:25 p.m. kickoff. There was some more news around the league that could impact the Bills. Before we knew Matt Milano was coming back from Sean McDermott, we also found out that Tyrell Dodson, who used to be with the Bills, obviously, waived by the Seattle Seahawks. I use that term because everybody has to go through waivers once the trade deadline has passed. Doesn't matter how many years you've been in the league. Once a trade deadline is passed, if you're released, you could be a 10-year vet, doesn't matter, you have to go through waivers. So every team has a chance to claim that player. Now, if you claim the player, you take on his contract. I don't expect the Bills to claim Tyrell Dodson. They're not going to do that. They're the 30th waiver priority. Somebody might claim him before that. But if he goes through waivers because nobody wants his contract, he becomes a free agent. Is that something you think the Bills could be interested in?
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, it makes sense just knowing the system.
Even with Milano coming back?
Yeah, I just think that look at what they had to put on the field in the game last year against the Chiefs in the playoffs, right? And I think that Tyrell Dodson is somebody who has had times where he has made plays for this Bills defense. And I think that they clearly, based off of them signing Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, they clearly have an affinity sometimes for players who know the system and they have former 100%. Relationships with. I think that this is one of those things, like, if there's not a lot of interest out there from other teams, why not bring them back on your practice squad if you can? And just kind of stash him there, and then in break glass in case of emergency thing, you can put him on the active roster. I mean, they also have the spot. Obviously, that changes when Milano comes back. So I think it's realistic, and I don't think that he's like, you know, a difference maker or anything, but I think he's better than some of the other depth options that they have.
Yeah, I mean, I would point to a guy like Nicholas Morrow, who really hasn't done much for this team this year, and Tyrell Dodson was very good on special teams for the Bills over the last few years, and maybe not be the preferred role for him, and he would have a choice in this situation. He might feel comfortable coming back to Buffalo, have a chance to win again, right? They're 8-2 right now, so I also keep it in the window of possibility, especially considering Bealen Specter just went out. Bealen Specter, he's the backup middle linebacker, but he has to play special teams in that role. Now, granted, Tyrell Dodson, he has position flexibility. He can play middle. He can play weak. So we'll see. As we talk now, I haven't seen anything on him. I think the claims had to be in by noon on Tuesday. By the way, that reminded me of an Alanis Morissette song. We were drinking beer at noon on a Tuesday. But I don't see anything on that. So by the time we get off this, that could be the case. I'm not really sure.
As far as the Chiefs are concerned specifically for this week, it does look like Isaiah Pacheco is coming off of not IR, but they're opening his 21-day window, I believe. So I want probably a stretch to think that he would be available this week, but you know, never say never. They're opening the 21-day window. I think we'll probably know more when Andy Reid talks on Wednesday, but just something to keep on the back burner with that team specifically, that they are also, you know, getting a big crucial player back from IR. It just might be a little too early to see him this specific Sunday.
All right, well, speaking of that team, the Chiefs, 9-0, they win another different way last week, incredibly, and give them credit. They're finding ways to win. They're playing a lot of one-score games. They're finding ways to win. They bring their 9-0 record into Buffalo. I've had a lot of debates with people this week that some people were happy that they won that game. They want this 9-0 team in Buffalo. They want this spotlight on the Bills to be of the team to beat them. I was the other way. Look, for me, it's about the standings and seeding. If they lose that game, you have a chance to take over the number one seed in the AFC. I think that's far more important than beating an undefeated team. I get it. I get the pomp and circumstance of it, but I would have liked to seen that kick go through for the Broncos.
Absolutely. It's not even a question. It's just one of those things. It's like you can mentally get to the place in your head easier if the Bills beating them as an undefeated team, as opposed to the Bills beating them and them losing two games in a row, which feels like it almost never happens. But I mean, that's all just mental gymnastics. I don't know if any of that actually has a factor into what happens in the game, right? I mean, if they would have lost to the Broncos, this game on Sunday would have been for the one seed in the AFC, at least for the time being. So yeah, I think that would have been more valuable, but I still think it's a massive game, and I still think it'd be a huge win for the Bills, because then, you know, then you're just one more Chiefs loss away from potentially leapfrogging them.
Yeah, I know it's not on your network, but I will say it's such a big game that CBS is bringing their entire crew to Buffalo, their studio show, everything. I mean, this is kind of the game of the year for a Sunday afternoon type of game, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. You know, I'm sure you could make the argument that the season opener against the Ravens is bigger or the game against the Bengals is bigger. But I don't think this is just my sense. I know we're closer to it than, you know, a lot of people. I feel like more football fans are excited about watching the Bills Chiefs than they are against the Bengals Chiefs. I feel like the Bengals Chiefs is still a really big rivalry, but for some reason, Bills Chiefs just seems to get more pomp and circumstance, seems to get more attention. And, you know, maybe there's people out there who disagree with me, but it does really kind of feel like it has become the must-see game every year in the NFL regular season. It's Colts Patriots from all of those years with Brady and Manning.
I'm looking at a lot of different, you know, Tuesdays, the power ranking days and the tiers and all that. And a lot of football people I respect as of this morning have the Bills ahead of the Chiefs in the power rankings, despite the records. And that's because of the Chiefs, the way they've been winning, the Bills and what they're doing on defense and taking the ball away. Does that feel right to you? You told me the line before the game is 2.5. Bills are favored. Does it feel to you like the Bills are kind of the better team here, or the Chiefs the better team? And I'm not talking about history, mm-hmm. who's won in the playoffs. I'm not talking about what the record is right now. I just think dollars for donuts here. Look at the stats, things like that. Look at the way the two teams are playing. Do you feel like the Bills are the better team?
I think it's close. I think if I knew the Bills would have in this game a Keon Coleman and a Dalton Kincaid, I would feel a lot different about it than I do now. I still think that they've absolutely got a chance to win this game. I mean, they've won three straight regular season matchups against the Chiefs, and all of those were on the road. So I absolutely think that they have a chance of beating this team. I think they're two really good teams, and I think that when two really good teams play, they're usually close games, and they're usually really entertaining games. That's what I'm expecting. But at the same time, if the Bills lose this game, I am not going to be the sky is falling. Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. Because maybe that's just what they need to do. Maybe they need to stop winning in the regular season, and that means they'll win in the postseason, as opposed to beating them in the regular season and then losing to them in the postseason.
There's a lot of interesting, you know, things we could talk about around the AFC, and we'll do that a little bit later in the week. But real quick, since we're doing this on a Tuesday, Monday night, Dolphins go to the Rams. They wind up winning the game, low-scoring game. I don't think either team looked very good on offense, but what do you take away from that game, considering the Bills have beaten the Dolphins twice? Here they go with Tua. They're still trying to save their season, and they do have two very winnable games coming up against the Raiders and the Patriots. And then the Rams, a Rams team who was getting a lot of love for a couple of weeks, the way they were getting healthy and playing, and suddenly they don't even score a touchdown against the Dolphins.
My take is that I think it's going to come down to the Dolphins and the Bengals for the 7th seed. Ooh. in the wild card.
So race. You don't want the 2 seed. I mean, those are two decent teams.
Honestly, like, it's funny because you don't know what's going to happen, but right. you could make the argument that the 3 seed is better. Now, that said, if you're the 3 seed, that probably means that, you know, there's a lot of games left to be played. Then you're going on the road to Baltimore in the divisional round, as opposed to potentially hosting
or
a game in the divisional round.
You're not giving Pittsburgh a chance here? They're ahead of Baltimore.
Yeah.
They play each other this week.
I know. I think the Ravens are the superior team.
I agree with that. It doesn't, but the Ravens, as a superior team, often lose a game they shouldn't lose, where it seems like the Steelers just keep kind of winning all different ways.
Do you see, look, I'm going to read off to you the remaining schedule for the Steelers.
I know.
It is a gauntlet. It is. So they just beat the Commanders, which is a really nice win. Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns. Yeah. So like those AFC North games are always weirdly close. Like it won't surprise anybody if the Browns win one of those games. They end their season at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, against the Chiefs, and against the Bengals. That is a murderer's row to end the season. I think there is a chance that they could fall to like the 7th seed or something. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a really hard schedule.
I see it. The problem is the AFC, the underbelly of the playoff spots are pretty soft right now. You have teams in there that are fighting me. Heck, Indy, Denver, right? The Chargers are having a nice year, but all these teams are right there. And look at Miami still, right? Where they are right now, you know, to be able to possibly gain that 7 seed. So,
I have a little bit of a hot take. I don't know if you agree with this. If I was the Bills, I would rather play the Steelers in the playoffs than the Bengals.
Oh, I think that's right. Matchup-wise, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather play, the Chargers? Would you rather play the Chargers or the Bengals? You'd rather play the Chargers than the Bengals, right? They play this
week. Yes, I'd rather play the Chargers if I was the Bills than the Bengals. In my head,
Rank them. Yeah, of the teams that are kind of right there in the
Colts.
Spot.
Colts is most favorable. Broncos is second most favorable. Chargers would be third most favorable. Steelers, Dolphins, Ravens, or excuse me, Dolphins, Bengals.
Yeah, Dolphins too, right there. I mean,
why would you? I mean, they just gave you a great game.
I agree without
Holland and without Sealer.
I mean, that's what I was referring to a minute ago, which is if you look at that game, Monday Night Football, Dolphins, Rams, I think it says a lot about the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins played really well against the Bills.
Yeah.
And then they go to the Rams, they play really well. And I'll be honest with you, I've never been jumping on the Rams. I just don't think they're all that great. And no. I think Monday night showed that, yeah, I think the Bills can go there and take care of business in a couple of weeks, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and also just keep in mind, like, obviously, we just talked about how difficult the remaining schedule is for the Steelers. This is the remaining schedule for the Dolphins. It's pretty easy. They play the Raiders and the Patriots in the next 2 weeks back-to-back at home, unless they really slip up. I mean, they'll all of a sudden go from being 2-6 to probably 5-6. Then they have a little bit of a tough stretch where they go on the road to the Packers, but I'm not super sold on the Packers. Then they host the Jets. Then they're at the Texans at the 40 or against the 49ers. Those are tough games. And then they end Browns Jets. So honestly, if you're the Bills and you want the Dolphins to miss the playoffs, you want the Jets and the Dolphins to kind of beat up on each other. Like that's a game you almost are like kind of rooting for a split there because it hurts. I mean, you would actually be hoping for the Jets to sweep the Dolphins, but them splitting would go a long way to potentially keeping the Dolphins out of it.
All right. Bills Chiefs Sunday, 4:25 p.m. We'll be back later this week with more information on what's happening with Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, Amari Cooper, everybody else that we're monitoring as far as injuries are concerned. And even now from the Chiefs side, Isaiah Pacheco, as Matt said, opening his 21-day window. And then, of course, it's a bye week, Matt, and hopefully we can get on to the bye week with some happy faces and people feeling very good about their professional football team here in Buffalo.
Yeah, for sure. We got a lot of episodes that we're going to do this week. So a lot of content's coming your way from the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo crew.
And the only way to get it is to make sure you're subscribed, whether it's on audio. You should
look
do both, actually, by the way.
Look at that transition.
Thank you.
On look audio, at that transition.
Give us a like. Give us a follow. Give us a recommend us, whatever you want to do, however all that works. And, of course, Sal Sports on YouTube. You can watch our smiling faces. Thanks to Mike Robbie and Jared Rowland, who's shadowing and learning how to deal with Matt and I here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
Yeah, welcome to the crew, Jared. And also shout out to all of the – well, actually, two shout outs. One, shout out Sal for introducing me to Pat McAfee on Sunday in Indianapolis. That was super cool because he's the best. But also shout out to – and I'm sure, Sal, you feel the same way. There were so many Bills fans in Indy.
Amazing.
So many Bills fans, and so many of them like came up to me and were like, hey, you know, either we watch you or we listen to your podcast with Sal. We love you guys. So thank you for all the continued support. It is not unappreciated and unnoticed. It is really, really cool walking around Indianapolis just like the day before a game and having so many people come up to you and be like, hey, we love the podcast. So thank you. We really appreciate that. And the support means a lot to us.
We love the love. We'll talk to you next time.